Happiness is an inside job. Powerofpositivity.com lists 7 places people look for happiness that they shouldn't. 1, your next vacation. 2, material possessions. 3, in other people. 4, in your bank account. 5, the perfect life situation. 6, recognition from others. 7, being famous. This begs the question, where do you find happiness? It's not an unbelief. Voltaire was a staunch atheist, and he lamented, "I wish I had never been born." Not in pleasure, Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did, and he revealed, "The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." Not in money, Jay Gould, an American millionaire, had plenty of that. When he was dying, he complained, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." Not in position and fame, Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. He concluded, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." That was a sad quote, wasn't it? Not in military glory, Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept because he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Happiness, if we look to it in this world, is fleeting. It comes and goes. It's very temporary. Where then is happiness found? The answer to this question was written in 445 BC when the Jews returned from exile in Babylon to Jerusalem. Look at Nehemiah 8:8-10. And this, I think, will look and sound familiar to you. Nehemiah 8 Verses 8 to 10. They, the Levites, read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Let's pray for a moment. Lord, I think that we have it all mixed up. We tend to look for joy, happiness, in exteriors, in outward appearances, in temporal experiences. And we have overlooked you as the source of all joy. And I pray that you would impress upon us today that you are the source of everything we need, including joy. And I pray that we would leave our gathering today with a greater desire to know you than ever before. Would you do this work by your Spirit? Stir us up by your Spirit and through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Here in this passage, the Jews had just returned from Babylon and the law was being read and they realized that they had sinned greatly against the Lord. But the Lord was saying, it's time to move beyond that. You have repented. That's great. Now embrace the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy has its own nature. Joy has its own nature. Joy can't help being expressed. It takes just 15 facial muscles to smile and as many as 65 facial muscles to frown. Stop overworking yourself. He who laughs lasts. Today, laughter has become a marketable commodity because of its healthful benefits. King Solomon knew this a long time ago when he noted in Proverbs 17, verse 22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Humor is in big demand today. Comedies are amongst the most profitable films in North America. Stand-up comedy abounds. Surveys have shown that most people read the comics before any other part of the newspaper. That is, for those who still read the newspaper. True, joy does not depend upon circumstances. True joy does not depend upon circumstances. If we can let the truth of that settle into our hearts and our minds, that will change the way that we live. Two men had no human reason to be joyful in Acts 16. Look at Acts 16, verses 22 to 25. Acts 16, 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. These two guys were in prison, and not the kind of prison we enjoy today. There were no televisions. The food was lousy. There were lots of rats. We're probably talking about dirt floors here. This was not a pleasant place for them to be. They had been flogged and beaten, thrown into stocks, and in the midst of that, they decided to praise the Lord. That is incredible. An Englishman, a Frenchman, and a Russian were discussing happiness. Happiness, declared the Englishman, is when you return home tired after work and find your slippers warming by the fire. You English have no romance, retorted the Frenchman. Happiness is having dinner with a beautiful woman at a fine restaurant. You are both wrong, corrected the Russian. True happiness is when you're at home in bed and at 4 a.m. you hear a hammering at your door and there stand the secret police who shout to you, Ivan Ivanovich, you are under arrest. And you shout back, sorry, Ivan Ivanovich lives next door. That is true happiness. Helen Keller, unable to see or hear, observed, when one door of happiness closes, another opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we don't see the one which has opened for us. If you think you have troubles, think of Helen Keller. What characterizes your life? Would those around you describe you as joyful? Joy has its own nature, and joy has its own source. According to the Jewish Encyclopedia, no language has as many words for joy and rejoicing as does Hebrew. In the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, 13 Hebrew roots found in 27 different words are used primarily for some aspect of joy or joyful participation in worship. Hebrew tradition demonstrates God as the source of joy. In contrast to the rituals of other faiths of the East, Israelite worship was a joyous proclamation and celebration. The good Israelite regarded the act of thanking God as the supreme joy of his or her life. Such joy is of the Lord. It is a gift from God. In fact, Galatians 5:22 reveals that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in his people. In other words, as we walk with the Holy Spirit, joy is a fruit or a natural byproduct of this fellowship, this communion with the Holy Spirit. We don't even have to try to muster up joy. We don't have to paste on our faces these fake smiles. We just have this joy bubbling up like an artesian well inside us as we walk with the Holy Spirit. Don't you want to walk that way? Don't you want to live that way? I do. I want to live this way every day, despite circumstances. Sadly, the church often looks like we've been baptized in lemon juice. Psalm 16:11 explains that joy comes from being in God's presence. Look at Psalm 16, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You will fill me with joy in your presence. In Psalm 16:11. C.S. Lewis writes in his book, Mere Christianity, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way. God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself because it's not there. There is no such thing. Joy comes from God himself. He is our source of joy. As we walk with him, his joy arises in us. Joy determines spiritual strength. It's time for us to avoid focusing only on the negative. And I'm not telling you that you should overlook, that you should deny reality. I'm not asking you to do that. The Bible doesn't ask us to do it. In fact, the Bible says that we should be realists who are filled with faith. And that's exactly, as you think about the 12 spies, you remember them being sent into the promised land? All 12 agreed that it was filled with giants and it would be very difficult. But two, Joshua and Caleb, said, but God is with us. So they all agreed on the circumstances, the reality that they were facing, but two saw it with faith and joy was in their hearts. That's how we should live. Concentrate not just on the negative that's happening in our lives, the challenges that we face. Focus on the positive things that God has said and done. We'll begin to change. Joy will start to arise. We will become attractive people. Who wants to be around Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh? And I'm not asking you to be Tigger either, but maybe somewhere in the middle. There are times when we are sad, of course, when we grieve. I'm not denying that. But for the most part, our lives should be marked by joy. Pray for joy. You may often ask God for guidance and healing, but when was the last time you asked for his joy? It's okay to ask him for his joy. Decide to enjoy life. Don't just drag your behind through life like it's a big drudgery and a burden. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who wants to be a fellow follower of Jesus if they just see us with our chins dragging on the ground? Day in and day out. Who wants that? I wouldn't. May we be filled with joy. It may be an up and down ride, and I can assure you that it is and will be. There will be peaks and valleys, but there's no doubt that following Jesus never lacks excitement. It is an adventure. And he's doing wonderful things. He's saying amazing things, and I want to walk with him. I want to enjoy him. And I pray that you do too. Walk with God and tap into his joy by inviting Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. Ask him in, the one who is the source of all joy. Let him in. Joy comes in obeying him, doing what he's asked you to do, walking in his will and his ways, because eventually it's like fighting the law of gravity. You can't do it. I've tried and I've lost. Eventually, you have to succumb. Sooner or later, we will bend our knee to the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The sooner we do it, the sooner we will be filled with joy, and our lives will be in alignment with our Creator, our Savior, the one who has bought us back. What could be more joyful than that, to walk with the Almighty God? Think of all that he's done for us. Think of our future that we have in him. Think about that. We have a lot to look forward to, folks. Our hearts should be filled with joy. Tap into his joy by thinking about his presence. thinking about things that are above, not just on earthly things. And I'm not saying that you and I should be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the kingdom of God is very practical, and the kingdom of God is at work even in the practical daily realities of life. Even while you're working, maybe doing something that you don't particularly enjoy, you can be thinking about someone and something that brings you joy. And that's a choice that you and I make every day. Think about Him. Study the Bible. Read His Word. Immerse yourself in His Word. Pray and give thanks and worship. I pray that you and I would be singing songs to Him regularly. The songs that we sang today, we're giving you opportunity to get to know these songs with us. And if you would like to know them and you don't yet, let me know and I'll help you get to know them. We share these songs on Spotify, and I'm asking you to listen to these songs and sing them, get to know them. I pray that when we come together on Sunday, it would just be a natural overflow of what you and I have been doing through the week, singing our praise and our worship to Him. And when we get together, it's like a collection of joy, not a collection of drudgery. But we actually feed off of that joy and the energy that comes from getting together around the name of Jesus. What are you relying upon for joy and happiness? More money? A spouse? A new job? Friends? God is the source of true joy. Joy has its own nature, its own source, and its own power. Joy has immense power. It enables you to lift your head above the circumstances you face. Have you been beaten and flogged and thrown into prison lately? Like Paul and Silas in Acts 16? That kind of joy and the rejoicing, those are like twin sisters, by the way. Joy and rejoicing, they come from the same root word. Enables you to look up, to lift your head over the circumstances that you face. Dramatic events occurred after Paul and Silas arose above adversity and expressed their joy. Read on in Acts 16, verses 26 to 33. Look at what happens when these two guys made the choice to rejoice and praise and walk in their God-given joy. Acts 16, starting at verse 26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here!" The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. Isn't that cool? Because of the choice that Paul and Silas made to rejoice and to walk in the joy that God had put in them, the prison doors flew open and the jailer thought that the prisoners had escaped, and he knew what would happen. If that were the case, he was done for. His superior officer would see that he was executed promptly or thrown into prison for the rest of his life. Instead, they assured him, "We're all here." Then the jailer says, "What must I do to be saved? How about that for a leading question? Well, let me tell you." And they present the gospel to him, the good news to the jailer, and he and all his family were baptized, transformed. When you read the book of Philippians, keep this in the back of your mind, because this was a Philippian jailer. This was in Philippi. And that's a theme running throughout the book of Philippians. Joy, rejoice. And they had a difficult time. The Philippian church were under a lot of persecution and stress and opposition. You think we have it bad here in this part of the world? Try living in Philippi 2,000 years ago. As far as I know, no followers of Jesus have yet had their heads lopped off here in Canada because they're a follower of Jesus. The heat was being turned up and people were persecuted and giving their lives as followers of Jesus. Look beyond what is facing you. When you focus on negative events, you are actually living by sight, not by faith. Now, when you hear me say that, that sounds kind of funny, right? We live by sight, not by faith. Why does it sound funny? Because often we hear the phrase, live by faith, not by sight. But I'm telling you that most people in the church today live by sight, not by faith. We live by our five physical senses, and as a result, we lose our heavenly senses. Because God's ways are higher than our ways, we are to live by faith. And faith is defined in Hebrews as what is unseen. God sees things that we cannot yet see, and we are to align ourselves with how He sees things. That is the essence of faith, seeing the world around us the way that God sees things. God is always in control, and He always answers your prayers in His way and His time, not yours. God might say, yes, no, wait. A secret of joy is resting in that, trusting Him for His answer, and settling for that. Constantine, the emperor of Rome, had made Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire in 313 AD. So for several hundreds of years, the church was persecuted. Then finally, its influence had spread so profoundly through the Roman Empire that Constantine the emperor had decided that Christianity would be the official religion of the Romans. Just so you know, it's not so great sometimes to have your faith considered to be the national religion. Because soon after, the church lost its way. The church began to grow lukewarm, even cold. And another emperor arose. 48 years later, another emperor called Julian. You might remember Julian from what we call the Julian calendar. Or the Orange Julius. No, that's not the same thing. He wanted to turn the clock back. And he wanted to restore the old gods. Now, Julian's complaint was, have you looked at these Christians closely? Hollow-eyed, pale-cheeked, flat-breasted all, they brood their lives away, unspurred by ambition. The sun shines for them, but they do not see it. The earth offers them its fullness, but they desire it not. All their desire is to renounce and to suffer that they may come to die. That's a pretty grim description of the church. In the first century, the church was alive and vibrant, filled with joy. And then by the time Julian became emperor, the church had fallen. It had slid into apathy. And it had grown lukewarm and had lost its joy. What a terrible tragedy. As Julian saw it, Christianity took the vitality out of life. Imagine what Canada would be like if the church was known for joy. Do you think that would make an impression on people? I think it would. Followers of Jesus and the church would be very attractive. I think our nation would change if the joy of the Almighty God arose in us and amongst us. Oliver Wendell Holmes once remarked, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. Robert Louis Stevenson once entered in his diary as if he were recording an extraordinary phenomenon, I have been to church today and am not depressed. John Maxwell advised, until you make peace with who you are, you'll never be content with where you are. Axel Mirth observed, a man can stand a lot as long as he can stand himself. Let the joy of the Lord become happy laughter. There should be a lot of laughter that goes on amongst God's people. I'm not saying that we should be fake or superficial. Stuff happens in life. We should definitely embrace those emotions as well. But I think we could use some more happiness. I think we could use some more laughter in our lives. Let's walk in it. When you laugh, your diaphragm goes down, your lungs expand, and you take in 2 or 3 times more oxygen than usual. As a result, a surge of energy runs through your body. Happy individuals recover from disease much more quickly than sad, complaining patients. Statistics show that those who laugh live longer. The foundation for happiness is a proper relationship with the Lord. Building upon this foundation, I submit this 10 rules for happier living. 1, give something away with no strings attached. 2, do a kindness and forget it. 3, spend time with the aged. Experience is priceless. 4, look intently into the face of a baby and marvel. 5, laugh often. It is life's lubricant. 6, give thanks. 1,000 times a day is not enough. 7, pray or you will lose the way. 8, work with vim and vigor. 9, plan as though you will live forever. Because if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will. 10, live as though you will die tomorrow. Because you will die on some tomorrow, sooner or later. A young girl received Christ in exciting revival meetings with her church, and she was baptized the closing Sunday morning. That afternoon, she ran through the house singing and dancing. Her sour grandfather rebuked her with these words, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Just join the church and singing and dancing on the Lord's day." Crushed by her grandfather's attitude, the little girl went out to the barn, climbed up on the corral fence, and observed an old mule standing there with a sad, droopy face and bleary eyes. As she reached over and patted the mule sympathetically, she consoled him with, "Don't cry, old mule. I guess you've just got the same kind of religion that Grandpa has." Joy has its own nature, its own source, and its own power. Is your joy ruled by circumstances? Does your happiness and contentment depend upon your environment? God is the source of true joy. Let's pray. Lord, for me, I really want to walk in this. I want to walk in this every day. Consistently, I want to walk in your everlasting, your inexhaustible joy. And I pray that for us, that your joy would bubble up from our lives and it would touch the people around us. I pray that we would not be seen as superficial or somehow dishonest, but that we would truly be transparent and clear, yet filled with joy. Lord, I want the world to see sincere followers of Jesus filled with your joy. Would you do this in us, Lord? Not to bring attention to ourselves, but to bring honor and glory to you as the source of true joy. And as we pray, if you would like to receive Jesus today, you can. Invite him in. Say yes to him. Would you invite him in? The source of true joy. Say yes to him. Lord, we surrender to you. take us, inhabit every part of us, Lord, that your joy would truly be our strength. We pray in Jesus' name.